Father, again, we are thankful for this night and just pray that you would speak to us now as we open up your word. I pray that you would lead me in everything that I say. Help me only to speak things that are true. And I pray that your spirit would speak now to our hearts that we might understand your will and your word. Amen. We're going to go to 1 Kings chapters 12 and 13. And look at a story that's a very sad story that I'm sure you guys are all familiar with. It's a story that honestly has confused me for a lot of my life. And to this day, I still feel a little bit confused about it. I feel like it's unfair. And unfortunately, I can't stand up here and tell you tonight that I have gained a lot of insight on everything that happened in the story. But I think that tonight it has a very, very strong picture to the situation that we are living in right now. And I think we will very easily be able to understand from the scriptures how the situation we are living in is like this story. Even if we don't understand everything that God did. So, to start, let's go ahead and read, beginning in chapter 12 and verse 26. It says, "And Jeroboam said in his heart, 'Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto the Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah. And they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah.' Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, 'It is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.' And he set one in Bethel and the other put he in Dan. And this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made an house of high places, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah. And he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made. And he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places, which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand which he put forth against him dried up, so that he could not pull it again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, What way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, Saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then said he unto him, Come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread, nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which the Lord did say to thee, Eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. And it came to pass, after he had eaten bread, and after he had drunk, that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet whom he had brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way, and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way. And the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. And behold, men passed by and saw the carcass cast in the way, and the lion standing by the carcass. And they came and told it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And when the prophet that brought him back from the way heard thereof, he said, It is the man of God who is disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the lion, which hath torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord which he spake unto him. And he spake to his sons, saying, Saddle me the ass. And they saddled him. And he went and found his carcass cast in the way, and the ass and the lion standing by the carcass. The lion had not eaten the carcass nor torn the ass. And the prophet took up the carcass of the man of God and laid it upon the ass and brought it back. And the old prophet came to the city to mourn and to bury him. And he laid his carcass in his own grave, and they mourned over him, saying, Alas, my brother. And it came to pass, after he had buried him, that he spake to his son, saying, When I am dead, then bury me in the sepulchre wherein the man of God is buried. Lay my bones beside his bones. For the saying which he cried by the word of the Lord against the altar in Bethel, and against all the houses of the high places which are in the city of Samaria, shall surely come to pass. After this thing Jeroboam returned not from his evil way, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places, whosoever would. He consecrated him, and he became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became a sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth. I want to give you just a little bit before I get into what I feel like speaking about tonight. I want to give you a little bit of a rundown of this story and some of the things that I don't know about the story, but I suspect to be so. Put it into just a little bit of a perspective, because it seems, as you read it, a little bit unfair that this prophet that comes from Judah to speak against the altar ends up dying from a lion attack. And a prophet who lived there, who lied to the prophet who came from Judah, ends up living with no harm. But I want you to understand a few things. First, let me say, God is the one who sent the prophet from Judah to Bethel to speak against the altar. And God is the one who told that prophet not to eat bread or to drink water or to return by the same way that he came. God gave those commands to the prophet. I find people many times who sit and they try to dissect God's thoughts, which the Bible says are so much higher than us. They try to dissect God's thoughts and figure out why God said what he said. And honestly, I am not going to do that tonight. I don't know why God said what he said to the man that he sent to Bethel. I have some ideas, but I may be wrong about my ideas because God thinks a lot deeper than I think. But one thing that I am going to do tonight is I am going to apply the things in this story to our present situation in our day right now. And the things that I am going to apply are accurate, biblically so, according to the things that God has written to us. So that's one thing I want you to note. Another thing I want to note here. The prophet that is living in Bethel, where King Jeroboam is and where the golden calf is, though he is receiving the word of God and speaking the word of God from God's mouth, does not imply for any truth that this man is a man of God or that he is a godly man. We do not know because we only know one thing about this man, and we never judge a man's life by one thing. The best of men in this world have committed horrible deeds, and the worst of men in this world have done good things. So because we only know one thing about this man, we do not have any way to judge whether this man was a man of God or a man of the devil. My gut feeling is this man was not a godly man, that he was not saved, that he was not walking with God. That's my gut feeling in the story. But my gut feeling has nothing to do with truth. So suppose that the man of God who comes from Judah to preach against the altar gets destroyed by a lion for disobeying the voice of the Lord. But the old prophet who's living there doesn't get anything for lying to the prophet and causing his death. He doesn't get anything. Well, the fact of the matter is, God is the judge of his people. And we do not have any idea what happened in that old prophet's life. Nor do we know that he is not right now in hell with the other people on this earth who have not listened to and followed God. So there's a lot of things in this story that we do not know. But I want to tell you something that is true to life about this story. And I want to apply it a little bit to the time that we are living in right now. In order to start that, let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy, the 13th chapter, and just read one of God's commandments to the children of Israel. Deuteronomy 13 says, "If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, Let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put away evil from the midst of thee. If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or thy wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, Let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thy hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you. If thou shalt hear say in any one of thy cities which the Lord thy God hath given thee to dwell there, saying, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you, and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods which ye have not known. Then shalt thou inquire and make search and ask diligently, and behold, if it be truth and the thing certain that such abomination is wrought among you, thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly and all that is therein and the cattle thereof with the edge of the sword. And thou shalt gather all the spoil of it in the midst of the street thereof, and shalt burn with fire the city and all the spoil thereof, every whit, for the Lord thy God, and it shall be a heap forever. It shall not be built again. That's far enough. There's three situations in this chapter where God instructs the children of Israel when they're still walking in the wilderness. He instructs them by Moses that if anybody, whether it be a prophet, whether it be your son, whether it be your wife, whether it be a whole city, if anybody in the nation of Israel leaves God and goes to serve a different God, they are to be killed, no matter what the situation. And now we just came through the reading of the chapter where Jeroboam, the king of Israel, not based on any religious belief that he had, not based on anything of truth at all, but based on a simple thing of politics, you might say, trying to maintain his own ends in the country, introduces a new religion and new gods to the people. And there is not one man in the whole nation of Israel who stands up to obey what God said about those people being put to death. There is not one man in the whole nation, not King Rehoboam, not any prophet, nobody anywhere pays any attention at all to Deuteronomy chapter 13. When the king brings forth idols, nobody stands up to him. And those idols get set out in two cities in the nation of Israel, and the people in mass leave God to serve those idols. And there is not anybody to stand up and do anything about it. Now, if that is not a picture of the day that we are living in right now, we have had in this country the nation, the leaders, the people, the schools, anybody who has anything to do with leading this nation, besides a few little Christians in a corner, they have all left God. And in general, the churches that we have in our country have taken no stand against what they have done. They have quietly, in their own way, succumbed to the pressure of a wicked nation on the morals of their family. They don't take any stand. They don't do anything. There is nobody who is willing to stand up against the people who are doing the wrong. And I don't know what, honestly, the command that was given in Deuteronomy chapter 13 to kill anybody who served an idol, that would have been a fairly tough command for anybody to have carried out in that time when the man who was suggesting the idol was the king and had an army. The fact of the matter is there are situations in life that things get bad enough because we have already departed from God far enough that when the worst things happen, there is no strength left in the system you are living in to stand up to anything anymore. And the only thing that can happen is you can stand and watch with your eyes while everything goes down in front of your face. That is a true state of many situations. There's a time when it is too late to uphold what God gave you to do because you have no strength to accomplish it. But back in Judah, under King Rehoboam, who had also departed from God, the temple of God still stood, and the people of God still gathered, and the Levites still ministered, and the religion of God still existed in a weakened form under Rehoboam in Judah. And back here in Bethel, the rest of the kingdom, wherever these other people were, things had deteriorated and were an absolute mess. Now there was a prophet. The Bible says he was an old prophet. This prophet was probably a prophet when Solomon was reigning. He was a prophet when things were easy. He was a prophet when the nation of Israel believed in God. He was a prophet when it was the right thing to be a prophet. He was a prophet when it was respectable to be a prophet. But there was a problem. Because there came a new king who changed the country. And the new king brought in the idols. And the new king brought in a new religion. And I don't know what the prophet did, because the Bible doesn't tell us what he did. But we do know what he did not do. He did not go to the king and cry against the altar and the gods that he had made. He was at home when God sent a man from Judah. And it was in this context of the story that God said to the man of Judah, "Do not eat bread or drink water in that place, or turn again by the same way that you came. Go there, say this word, and get out of there and come home." Now, I just have a strong feeling that I can't prove tonight, but I have a strong feeling that the reason that God said to the prophet what he said was because it was for his protection, because it did not matter how strong that man was for God. Things were so bad in Bethel that he could not stay there for any length of time without getting hurt by the people. Which is exactly what we see actually happen. And it was not the king. It was not the idol worship. It was not the high places. It was not the low people who had been made priests. It was the people who were still standing for God who destroyed his life. That's what it was. It was the people who still believed in God. But as the scripture says, he lied. He lied. Now you tell me, I've spoken on this subject a number of times before, and I find it strewn throughout the scriptures. You tell me why it is when the man of God is at the altar, crying against the altar, the prophet is at home. But after the man of God has cried against the altar, and the altar has been ripped, and the ashes has been poured out, and the king's hand has been dried up, and the king's hand has been healed, after that, that prophet wants to eat with the prophet who came from Judah. And I have said this so many times before, I want you guys to listen to me right now. You young people who are sitting here, who look around and want friends. You want people to associate with and people to hang out with. You ought never to sit down to a meal with a person who will not sit in one of these chairs with you. There are people scattered around this town right now who say they believe in God and who say they want to serve God. And they want to be your friend, but they would not lower themselves to sit in a church where the Bible is still preached and believed. They would not come here. In fact, if given the chance, they scoff at this church. They call it names. They laugh at us. But they want to be your friend. You can't. You cannot hold on to the things of God and the people who have nothing to do with the things of God and not be influenced for bad in your own life. You can't do it. There is a church that stretches the country from the East Coast to the West Coast that we call New Evangelical. They are correct in doctrine. If you sit down with them and go through the scriptures on whether or not they believe, how they believe in God and Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the death of Christ, and go on and on and on across the range of Christian doctrine, they agree with everything you think. But they are like the old prophet in Bethel. They are sitting in their house and letting the king bring his idols out, and they have nothing to say. They will not speak against anybody anytime. And if you have a friend that is too afraid to speak against sin, he shouldn't be a friend to you, because his influence in your life is taking you to the lion. That is the truth. Some of you young people don't know this. Some of you old people should probably be saying amen. Thank you, Dale. It hurts sometimes when I see the kind of books that end up circulating in this church. From neo-evangelical sources, people who know nothing about the message of God. They know nothing about salvation from sin. They know nothing about standing up for a Christ who is rejected in this world. They can put out their books of encouragement or pretty story, or the list goes on and on and on and on. You can recognize those kind of books from a mile away. Let me tell you something. You know how you can see when a book is that kind of a book? When it's popular across the country. That's a pretty close standard. I'm not going to say because somebody's going to go and they're going to bring me a book that's popular that isn't of that stamp. Okay, there's always exceptions to every rule. But as a general rule, the books that are popular across this country right now have nothing to do for your soul besides pull you away from God. And God had said to the prophet not to eat bread or drink water in the place. But another prophet, saved or lost, we don't know, that prophet told him that an angel had talked to him. Does that sound a lot like modern Christianity tonight? You know, I find in almost every type of church now where you go, it doesn't matter now anymore if it's the Pentecostals, or if it's the New Evangelicals, or if it's the Mormons, or if it is the conservative homeschool churches. I am finding that across America right now, everybody is getting led of God to do things that God never told us to do. Everybody is finding these leadings, and they all have their own little way of finding them. But the fact of the matter is, when the prophet told him that an angel had talked to him, all he wanted to do was accomplish his end. And he was lying. You know, when Rehoboam made the calves, Rehoboam wasn't trying to exterminate the work of God. Rehoboam didn't care anything about the calves that he made. Rehoboam was on a single mission of securing himself in his kingdom. That was all he was after. Now, we notice with this old prophet that he still loved God and still didn't believe in the calves. But he had gotten the king's way of accomplishing things had rubbed off on him. See, he wasn't out he was out to serve God. He liked the prophet who came from Judah. He liked the message of the prophet who came from Judah. But he was willing to tell a lie to secure a meal with the prophet. So this prophet may have rejected the calves, but he had accepted Jeroboam's lifestyle. Influence, we call that. It's how we change by the people we associate with. And this prophet was in Jeroboam's kingdom, and this prophet wasn't talking against what Jeroboam was doing, so Jeroboam was influencing the prophet. That's how it works. You're either against these people, or they are taking your heart. That's how it works. Now, if you don't mind, just to get a little bit of God's perspective on this, go to the 28th chapter of Jeremiah. And I'll feed you another chapter. Jeremiah chapter 28 says, "And it came to pass the same year, in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year and the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet that was of Gibeon, spake unto me in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and of all the people, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within two full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord. For I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests and in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen, the Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away captive from Babylon into this place. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms and of war, of evil, and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off the prophet Jeremiah's neck and brake it. And Hananiah spake in the presence of the people, saying, Thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of two full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Then the word of the Lord came unto the prophet, unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Go and tell Hananiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and they shall serve him. And I have given him the beasts of the field also. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will cast thee from off the face of the earth. This year shalt thou die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the seventh month. Now we have in this story, we have two words to Hananiah from Jeremiah. One of them before the word of the Lord came to him, another after the word of the Lord came. Hananiah had come up to the people, and he had prophesied a good thing to them. They were under the rule of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. And he had come into the temple of God, and he had prophesied that within 2 years, Babylon would be broken down, and the people would all be returned. And Jeremiah stood up to him without hearing anything from God, without God telling him anything. He stood up in front of the prophet and he said, Listen here, I would love it if the Lord did what you are prophesying, but I want you to notice that as we look through history, The prophets that have come before us haven't prophesied like that. He said they've prophesied against people and against countries and against kingdoms. They've prophesied of war. They've prophesied of pestilence. And he said, you're prophesying different. Now you say peace. He said, we'll know if you are a prophet when what you say comes to pass. Now let me tell you something right now. In that principle, every time you hear somebody stand up and say good words, it's nothing for you to obey until it happens. That means the prophets that are out there prophesying smooth things have got to be rejected when they speak. Because we cannot accept them until what they say actually happens, because they haven't proved themselves yet. That's according to Jeremiah. But after Jeremiah gave him this insight from history, he walks away. And then the word of God came to him. And he says, go back and tell the prophet Hananiah, you broke a yoke of wood, but I'm making my yokes out of iron. And you're going to die. I ask this question. I wonder where Hananiah got his information about Babylon from. Jeremiah said he made the people to trust in a lie. But Jeremiah didn't tell us whether or not Hananiah himself had been deceived. You see, some people out there teaching false religions have been deceived into believing what they are teaching is the truth. But there are other people out there teaching false religions who know very well what they are teaching is not the truth. And they have other ends for what they are doing. If you aren't going to have the true religion of God, you're going to have find a way to get your information from for the religion that you are going to have if you are going to be religious. See, if we're going to follow God, we don't need anything at all to help us besides what God has said to us. Because this book gives us a complete list of everything that God cares about. It gives us the complete duty that we have toward Him. It tells us everything that we need to know about God. It tells us everything we need to know about life. It tells us everything we need to know about friends. It tells us how to live. It is a complete book for us. This will guide us in every situation of life. But if we don't want this to be our guide, but we still want to be religious, we have to find another source to get our information from. And let me just tell you what some of those sources are. One is angels speaking to you. One is the people preaching to you who have had angels speak to them. Another is you can skip the angels and you can listen directly to God. Those are all false religions. That is not the truth of Christianity. The truth of Christianity is found in the book. It's not found from other sources. And if you go back to 1 Kings chapters 12 and 13... Verse 33 of chapter 12, talking about Jeroboam, says, he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart. You see, when you're not going to follow God, then you can set things up whatever you feel like inside. Whatever your own heart leads you to do is what you can do. And you know, we all like little parts of the Bible. And so we have in our country a nation that is still largely believes in God and largely believes in Jesus, largely believes in heaven, largely believes in the work of God in our lives and God's presence and His care. And so we go to our religion and we want a God that takes us to heaven. And we want a God who helps us through college. And we want a God who keeps us safe when we have children. And we want a God who takes care of our kids. And we want a God who does all sorts of good things to us. But we don't want a God who tells us what to do. And so we close the Bible. It doesn't matter a whole lot what's in here, because we can go to the churches and we can listen to the once a week that we can make it to church. We can listen to the pastor, who is not a Christian, stand up and tell us all the good things that God can do for us. And that pastor is too chicken and too unsaved to stand up and tell anybody that God's going to send them to hell if they don't deal with their sin according to the scriptures. He's too chicken to do it. It cost him something. It might cost him some church members who don't want to give up those sins. It might cost him some people's love. Some people will hate him. And you know, you can take a good batch. A good batch of food that you're mixing, and you can dump something rotten in the top, and you can begin to stir. And parts of that food in that pot are still completely untouched by that rotten food because it hasn't reached them yet. Parts of it have got little tiny little pieces of that rotten food strewn through it where the spoon stirred. And parts of it are heavily concentrated with that rot where it was dumped. The longer it mixes, the more evenly it will be distributed. But in the meanwhile, you might go to that pot of food and you'll find every level of contamination. We have that right now in front of our face. Right now in front of our face. We have in this country the rot, the religions that don't know God, the people who hate Him, that have nothing to do with His Word. And we have on the far end the people who are holding themselves mostly pure. And in between, there's every level of delusion in different churches. Some that there may be a saved person or two in the church, but mostly complete ignorance of anything that is of God. And you might go up further to the churches that we call New Evangelical. There may be a few pastors in those churches that are saved, but for the most part, completely ignorant of God, completely disobedient to His Word. And then you come up a little further and you get a church that has got a little bit of life in them. They've got a little bit of holiness. But they read the books, listen to the music, get the things that they take into their soul on a daily basis were produced by the New Evangelical Church that doesn't love God anymore. And so they're going. And then you go up a little further, and you've got people who are a little bit more separated. They don't associate with the New Evangelicals, but they associate with the conservatives who associate with the New Evangelicals. And as you go up the line, things get a little bit purer and a little bit purer and a little bit purer. But as a matter of fact, I would call America today the land of Bethel, where you better be careful where you eat and drink. Because this isn't a place where God is known and loved. This is not a place of the Word of God. If there's one thing that you should hold for yourself for a standard to know who you should or should not fellowship with in this country right now, let me tell you, that standard should be how much that church or person majors on the subject of holiness. Because that's what's missing in all the churches. Holiness. They don't believe in God's word, what God calls sin. They all have their own opinions about right and wrong. But they have not separated from anything that is of the devil. They're playing with everything that is of the world. The world has influenced them. And it is coming in like a flood throughout the best churches in our country now. It is coming in like a flood that people are seeking to be spoken to by God. They're seeking for leading from God outside of the Word of God. Because the Word of God is a rejected book in this country. And because it's a rejected book in this country, all these other people are finding their source for information from other places. And that's coming in like a flood to the people who still serve God. But it's not of God. And the prophet that came down from Judah, he had the word of God. God told him, don't eat and drink there. He could have argued, like you young people like to argue here, what's wrong with the food of Bethel? This is how we get our information for whether or not we will or won't obey God. Somebody says, God says this, and somebody says, but there's nothing wrong with that. I don't care if there's something wrong with it. If God says something, you obey. If God says don't eat in Bethel, you don't eat in Bethel. Doesn't matter if the food there is good or bad. There's a bad prophet there, and that bad prophet is willing to lie to you in spite of the fact that you're going to die because of his lie. And he was probably the best person in the town. From there on out, it got worse. I'm using you guys tonight to preach the rough draft of this sermon. I'm going to preach it again. Someday, when I can gather together some more information about how horribly this is taking our nation right now, the lies that are going on, the way people are following God. Someday I'm going to do this one again. So put up with me tonight. I'm giving you what I believe to be a horrible situation in our country. I am not giving you a very clear path tonight of what you should do with this situation, besides the fact that you should be well aware of what is happening. Because if you're not aware of it, you can't watch and pray against it. But the one thing that I warn every person here that is the most important thing that you do with your Christian life is choose your associations, because the people you associate with are going to be the people who are going to influence you. And they may not be the people who are going to influence you to serve another God, but those people may, while serving God, may have been influenced by people who don't serve God. And they will bring things into your life that will completely destroy who you are. We don't have anything in this country that comes close to what we have seen in days past, where people fell on their faces before God in times of revival. We don't have that in our country tonight. We need it. We have a country that is falling to pieces, where sin, the things that just 100 years ago or 50 years ago, things that people were ashamed about are now the commonplace lifestyle for everybody. And the wearing down of the morals has crept into the churches so much now that there is very little understanding of what morals is anymore in the country, whether you are a Christian or not. But God still has rules in His book that He tells us to follow. and his rules did not change because our country left him and his word. His rules are just as strong as they were 100 years ago when our country had a little bit more decency. God's rules didn't change. But there's a lot of lying prophets out there. A lot of ungodly people standing in the pulpits saying things that are good for them instead of good for the people who they're speaking to. So, shall we close with prayer? Father, do bless this portion of your word to our hearts tonight, and do fill us with love for you. Father, help us to disdain the things that Satan and his people put before us. Help us to forsake their bread and their water, and to seek only that which comes from you. I pray that you would indeed bless us all with a heart to serve you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's dismiss.